Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
So over the next few weeks, certainly a couple of months, we're going to be speaking about the presence with a C of God. And I'd like to have two people come up, and I'm going to ask them to share really quickly, Mark Losman and Holly, just what the Lord shared with them that are, I believe is relevant to this morning's message. So if they can be brief and amazing, he'll be brief and amazing, she'll be brief and amazing, and so am I in just a minute.
Ladies first.
You go first.
Thank you.
This one time.
Okay, very good.
I am just so grateful that I was able to experience the love of God 34 years ago. And I was sitting here as we were worshiping, and then Tom shared about his about how God is the perfect Father. It just came to me that Jesus, through his ministry, came upon a woman that was a Samaritan. And just to say, men didn't talk to women back then very often. And the Samaritans, like, I don't know, imagine the only person you would not talk to. And that's what the Samaritans were to the Jews. And so she was this outlanding person, but yet he walked up to her and told her how much God loves her. And her response is, I don't deserve that love. You know, Jesus knew her heart, that he knew she thought she was not worthy of God's love. And I can relate to that. I did not think I was worthy of God's love. Here, this woman, he told her, had five husbands. She was living with a man now. I couldn't imagine what kind of relationship she had with a father, if she had a father here. And she felt unworthy of anything, joy, happiness, love, especially God's love. And Jesus broke down all those barriers and said, God loves you. No matter what you've done, no matter what you think you are, God loves you. And I can tell you for a fact, I had that exact moment that realized that God could love me no matter what I've done. And God does and will love you no matter what you've done.
Beautiful, beautiful, Mark. Amen. Thank you, ma'am.
So I do human resources consulting for businesses. And I had a client who came to me recently. They're trying to outsource something. And they came to me and they said, we've outsourced this thing and it's not working. So could you do some research and find a different option that will work better? So I did. I started researching. And I'm like, I'm not quite finding what you need. And I said, who are you using right now? And they told me. And I looked it up and I'm like, what? How does that not work? This company has a very specific specialization. And the company that they outsourced to specializes in that same thing for exactly what they need. So I went back to the client and I said, are you communicating? Are you doing this? Are you spending time? Have you told them? Well, no, we don't have time for that. There's your problem. I said, you have the resource that you need. You're not spending the time to build a relationship with them. That's why it's not working. So rather than trying to find a different option, let's build a relationship with the option that you have. And so the offer to you this morning, rather than looking for other things that fill the void, that fix the problem, if you have Jesus, you already have the resource that you need. It's just a matter of learning how to utilize it and build the relationship.
Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Amen and amen, and that is the crux of what I would like to speak on this morning and the next few weeks, is We have him. And he's always, Jesus is always available. And he is interested in building a relationship with me, with you. And he's done everything he can do and is going to do in initiating that relationship. But he's waiting for my response. He's waiting for my interaction. He's waiting for my yes and amen. And actually begin to relate to him. So that's where we're headed. So Mark, I appreciate it. Holly, thank you so much. Like I said, I mentioned several weeks ago in 2025, I want to talk about this year, presence and people. Presence and people. And so the start of that is talking about presence. If you weren't here last week, that's great. No problem at all. It was a great message. We talked about, I don't know who was speaking, some local guy, but it was really, really good. And I don't believe it's posted online yet, but we would like to get our messages posted online. But I would encourage you to go back, last couple of weeks especially, Dana Medeiros had a great message a couple of weeks ago. The message last Sunday about, it was just being with Jesus, which is all about relationship and connecting with him. That is his design, his desire is that we would be with him. And it's available. And he's waiting for us to say, yes, I'm interested, or no, thank you, Jesus, I'm busy. I'm going to tap into other things. And in our relationship with him, it never remains just dormant or isolated with myself. Like Jesus with the Samaritan woman at the well, which I'm going to reference in a few minutes what I want to share this morning. Aren't we glad that the life of heaven didn't remain isolated with just Jesus? Everywhere he went, he spilled and splashed into people's lives. And that's exactly what he's called us to do, to take that relationship, that connection, and spill and splash into people's lives. And this Samaritan woman, as Mark said, five husbands, living with a current guy aside from the five husbands. I can't have a relationship with God because I'm so messy. And Jesus says, no. This is my words, not his. I'm here. I want to show you love, not judgment, not criticism, not guilt and condemnation. Jesus offers life, love, and forgiveness. That's what he does, because he and the Father were one. And that's the offer Jesus has for us. Be one with me and spill and splash over a community. That's people and presence. This morning we're going to talk about presence. This morning the title of the message is Being Present. We're talking about presence. This morning, I want to talk about being present. I was with a lovely lady. I'm not going to mention Kim's name, but I was with a lovely lady this week at Breadco. And she shared this story of something. I think it was a short video that she'd seen. And I was so touched by it, I went back and actually watched it myself. We're not going to watch it this morning. It's not too long, but just for brevity of time. And Kim said, hey, there was this thing that happened. An adult was talking to a child and said, I'm going to give you a sentence, but it's fill in the blank, which was always my broken into sweat in school. I don't want fill in the blank. Give me at least multiple choice or true false. I got a shot. But fill in the blank, there's only one right answer in school. But this boy, this little boy was asked, I'm going to give you a sentence. What comes to your mind, Junior? What would you fill in the blank? And the question, the words that this little boy was given is, I wish I was. ... I wish I was. ... And the adult said to the child, what would you fill in? What would you say? I'm glad no one ever did that to my kids. And so the little boy said, a cell phone. And I was like, odd answer. And so I watched the video, you know, online. You can watch it at your own time. And so the person doing this, not a survey, but doing this interaction with his boy, not the parent, just an adult, said, a cell phone. Johnny, why would you say a cell phone? And little Johnny said, well, when I'm with my parents, all they're ever on is their cell phone. I ask questions, they're on their cell phone. I try and talk with them, they're on their cell phone. But if I was a cell phone, they would talk to me. Because that's what's important to my parents, is their cell phones. It's like, ow. Ooh. Thank you, Kim, for sharing that knife in my back. And I think most every parent to some level, unless you're anti-media and communication devices, every parent kind of groans. Because I think as a parent, we understand. And even if you're not a parent, my wife and I just were in Florida for a few days, several days. And I was just watching this couple at a restaurant. It was an Olive Garden. I don't remember the type of restaurant. It's called Olive Garden. And the whole time they're sitting there on their cell phones. The whole time. They're with each other. And I'm like, Lord, how many times have I done that? Whether it's my kids or important stuff going on here. And there's somebody directly across the table that you could be talking with, interacting with, involving, and engaging with. And so one of my questions this morning for myself, maybe for you, is what is my focus on? Where is my focus in life? And more importantly, through observation, what would other people who know me or around me on a regular basis, maybe my family members, maybe my little Johnny, what would people around me say is my focus, my obsession, my passion through observation of my life? And it's not a criticism of me necessarily. It's not a judgment or a critical thought about me. But honestly, those people around me who hear me talk, hear my values, hear what's really important to me, whether it's all sports, all books, all novels, all Netflix, what's my passion? What am I always talking about? Always talking about. What would those people around me who really know me say what my passion is? Because Johnny's was cell phone. Honest assessment of a little boy. And I know in our good moments and our soft moments, we want honesty. We don't want somebody just to say the right answer when it's not true. But as I look at myself, as I do healthy self-reflection, healthy self-assessment. Am I always talking about money? Am I always talking about vacation? Am I always talking about this thing, shopping, value, target, sales, not target, but clothes? What am I always talking about? That tells me where my passion is and what my passion is. John 4, thank you, Mark Glossman. John 4, verse 23 through 24, Jesus had an interaction with an individual. Jesus encountered a woman at the well. In John 4, 23 through 24, the Bible says this. And this is Jesus speaking to a woman. There's interaction at a well. We're not going to get into the story, but Jesus said to this woman in this interaction of conversation, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. That's what God is looking for. That's what our Heavenly Father is looking for, his worshipers. Now, given this fact, we all worship something. Every human being, we're made to worship as a human being. Whether you live in Afghanistan, whether you live in Malaysia, whether you live in Arkansas, heaven forbid. Sorry, Donnie. Sorry. Arkansas is a wonderful place to be from. Wherever you live, whether you're a Muslim, a Hindu, an agnostic, everybody worships something, whether it's money, music, sex, books. Everybody has something that their heart runs towards, and they give themselves to that. Most of us, many things. We're all worshiping something. Every human being is worshiping something. But Jesus said, "My Father is looking for worshipers who worship in the Spirit and in truth." And if people are observing my life, what would they say is my passion through observation? Because it's what I talk about. It's what I value. Exodus 33. verse 10 through 17. Exodus 33, 10 through 17. The Lord is, Lord had a leader named Moses. Many of us will be familiar with that name. Mighty, 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 amazing man of God. Flawed, but an amazing leader. And Moses was, I won't go into the history of it, don't have time this morning. He was raised in a pagan upbringing, and God called him out to lead people, but Moses did it the wrong way, his way. But at the age of 80, he led the Israelites out of Egypt into the wilderness. And Moses experienced the pain of parenting. When you have a bunch of kids who are just grumbling, complaining. Anybody ever been on a trip with kids? Okay, how about a 40-year trip with grumbling, 2 million grumblers? That was Moses' gift of leadership. 2 million grumblers and complainers. No, thank you. But we pick it up in Exodus 33. It's an ugly part, verse 1 through 9. Read it on your own time. But what we're going to look at this morning is verse 10 to 17, where God's saying, hey, Moses, I agree, let's kill them all. Not a pleasant thought, but hey, Old Testament, Old Testament. Exodus 33, verse 10 and 17. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, presence, they, the people, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance to their tent. Verse 11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. And there's our salient point for the morning. Speak face to face as one speaks to a friend. Relationship, connection, it's available. If we want to utilize, if we want to interact with what's available. Moses, even as in the Old Testament, understood there is a God in heaven. He's available. And he wants to meet with me face to face. And he wants to speak to a friend, not a dictator, not a grumpy old man. Our Father in heaven. Verse 11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp. But his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun. I don't think Nun's had any sons. Another story. Sorry, it's just my little mind goes. Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Another message, another day. Verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, this is Moses speaking to the Lord, you have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you're pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember, this is Moses speaking, remember that this nation is your people. May every pastor in the Western world understand the sheep are not theirs. Amen. They're the Lord's sheep, the sheep of his pasture. May leaders wake up. Verse 13 again. If you're pleased with me, Lord, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation, 2 million people, is your people. Verse 14, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? Presence, presence, presence. Moses understood it. What else will distinguish? This is so powerful. Verse 16. What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? What presence? Him with us, Emmanuel. Verse 17. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Verse 11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one who speaks to a friend. Oh my gosh, wouldn't that be what you would want on your tombstone? People's, yeah. She spoke with God face to face because the Lord and Susan, the Lord and Sally, the Lord and Bill were friends. That's possible. That's what Jesus wants. It's not for the select few. Friends are so important. God said, Moses, you're my friend. Wow. The dictionary definition of friends. A friend is one attached to another by affection or esteem. Attached. Secondarily, a friend, dictionary definition, a person known well to another and regarded with liking. They have similar likes, similar affections, similar loyalties. It's intimate. An ally in a fight or a cause. I don't want to fight with my friends. It's the worst. We spend time with our friends. At least that's the desire for us. We spend time with our friends. We want to do life with our friends. I was speaking with a leader in this church 2-3 years ago, and he said, we're talking about working together. And this gentleman said, I want to do life with my friends. I don't want to do church serving. I want to do life with my friends. Friends are intended to bring blessing, happiness, meaning to life. Doing life together. The friends dream together. And this is, again, like mentioning the topic of a father. This can be a really touchy subject for many. Because I hear so many people in life, if they're really honest, like little Johnny, I wish I was a cell phone. If many people, many Christians were honest, I've heard them say out of their own mouths, I don't have any friends. And that's the opposite of what Jesus has intended for you and me. Starting with him. For someone who says, I don't have any friends, can I just say this? What about Jesus? He's interested. You say you don't have any friends, what about him? Might be a great place to start. And it is the part of the blight upon Western Christianity that so many Christians don't have friends. They don't know how to interact. They don't know how to engage. They don't know how to be a friend. Jesus will help us. Jesus will help you and me. Friends dream together. Friends talk together. Friends joke with one another. Friends tease healthily, kindly tease one another. Friends laugh together. Friends play together. Look at your kids, if they're normal-ish. Friends go deep with one another. That's healthy and normal. And for damaged relationships, it's so dangerous to go deep because I might find out what you really think about me. And so let's just talk about the Cardinals and what a blue sky day it is. It's safer. But friends were meant to go deep with one another. Friends relax with one another. Friends confide in one another. Friends bounce things off one another. Friends linger in the relationship. I know, I'm getting there. Friends listen. Many people don't have friends because they never bother to listen. They just yep, constantly. I'm honest. Many people have no clue how to listen, actively listen, because they're talking constantly. If you don't have friends, let's just start with that as a possibility. Lord, help me learn to listen. With my friends, I replay the conversations that I've had with them. When I was with Floyd, when he said that, he's my friend and I know he's being honest. That's such a challenge. I was sitting in Bredco with Kim and I was replaying the conversation back and I was thinking about Johnny and the cell phone. And I spent so much time thinking about it. I was just like, Lord, when people look at me, what's their observation of me? In the Old Testament, Older Testament, in my understanding, in my reading, which is limited because I am limited, Moses and Abraham are the only two individuals that I find that are noted in the Older Testament, that the Bible actually says they were friends of God. Friends of God. There's some amazing people. Unbelievable. Joseph, my Old Testament hero, never mentioned as a friend. But there were two, Moses and Abraham. James 2, verse 23 through 24. This is New Testament, referring to the Old Testament. James chapter 2, verse 23 through 24. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's guy, God's man, God's anointed, God's man of faith. No! He was all those things, but the Bible says, sorry, that was what Andy said earlier. He was called God's friend. Wow. And the Bible says you see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. Friends. Moses and Abraham. To me, that's got to be the highest compliment that God would say, that's my friend. As we step into the New Testament, Jesus comes and he starts talking about heaven and bringing the kingdom of heaven. And he's just showing his disciples and all those hundreds and thousands of times who were listening, this is what heaven is like. This is my Father in heaven's intention. And John chapter 15, verse 12 to 16, the Bible says this. This is Jesus speaking. This is red letter stuff. Speaking to his disciples, Jesus said this in John 15, 12. My command, my thought, my consideration, if you choose, nope, my command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Doesn't say do your best, it's good enough. Love better than your mom, love better than your dad, love better than your weird little cousin Eddie. No, love as I have loved you. Wow, different bar. Greater love, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Here's the words again. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants. And Jesus would have had every right to call them servants, for indeed they were that. But Jesus wanted to bring understanding, insight, revelation of what he was intending for this group of people around him. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his father's business. Instead, I have called, not will, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, I chose you. And it's like, Jesus, be my friend. That's not what Jesus says. No, Jesus says, I'm choosing you to be my friend. Want to play? He chose you. Not to be a servant, just to be a disciple. Of course, yes, that's all true. But his desire for you, he's offering friendship. Interested? Want? As I listen, I think, you got to be kidding me. Friendship with holy Jesus? What an offer. From the New Testament forward. In the Old Testament, it was just Moses and Abraham. And now Jesus says, it's open to all y'all. Everybody. You got a name? You qualify. Friendship, it's astounding. What an offer. But am I interested? Because friends take time. They take time. And I may have to take and say no to that I've always been interested in, that I've always spent my time in, and actually invest it, interact, engage with something that's always on offer. Am I interested? Honestly, that's my question to myself. Am I interested in friendship with heaven? Because it takes time. What an offer. And it's his initiative. Okay, great, but how? What do I do about this? Do I send him a note? We could try that. Not a bad start. Hey, heaven. Yes, is that? Yeah. Great, but how? What do I do with this? Here's the first thing. As most of us would understand, it's easy to say yes to anybody. Anybody ever say yes to something because you want them to go away? You're just going to, fine, yeah, I'll do that. And you have no intention. Let my yes be with full amen of my heart. I have every intention of following through. My heart is always key with heaven, with Jesus, always. Where is my heart? What's it going to take to do this, this GBH? What does it take? Time. T-I-M-E. Time. It's going to take time. Well, I'm busy. Okay. We all are. Am I interested in friendship with heaven? Am I interested in his presence? Because that's what distinguished Moses and Abraham was. They took time. It takes time. Friends are present. Friends reach out. Friends initiate. Friends show uncommon interest in you. It's friendship, and it's so costly, so difficult. Friends for my wife and I, friends are so important to us. And they're so challenging because it's just time. It's expensive. C.S. Lewis said this. Just a quote from C.S., a friend of mine. I call him C. Friendship is born at that moment when one person says to another, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. You find you have common interests. You have common values. You have common, maybe even common challenges. And you overcome those things with your friends. Friendship is born at that moment when one person says to another, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. Friends reach out. Friends initiate. If someone, okay. So I have friends that actually call me. Not when they want me to cut their grass or shovel their snow or heaven help, move. Get thee beside me. Friends initiate relationship. They call. They want to spend time with you. And if somebody never ever calls me and I'm the only one calling them, here's your sign. They might not be your friend. But most friendships start with one person initiating. And then the other responds. And it's like, I like this. I want this. This is a healthy person. There's value in this relationship. But somebody's got to pick up the phone and initiate. And maybe 2-3 times. But if it's the 13th and 14th time, that's telling me something. Here's your sign. It takes time. My wife says this, her mom and dad have gone on to be with the Lord years ago, mine too. But one thing I hear my wife say, not regularly, but occasionally, I miss my mother's voice. She cackled. But she misses her voice. We can see pictures. We have one of those little things on the countertop, the rotating frame. Thank you, honey. One of those things, rotating frame. We see pictures of her mom and dad. But what my wife misses is the connection, the voice, the intonation, the cackle that was unique to Tessie. The voice. Friends hear connection. They hear voice. It takes time. Am I interested? Because Jesus is, and he's available, and he knows your name. I honestly don't think it's all that complicated. Am I interested? Second thing, and I'll close with this. First thing, am I interested in a relationship? I am interested in friendship with heaven, being with him, to tag on to last week. The second is, where's my heart? How is my heart? Is my heart soft? Am I the sort of person that someone would want to be around and have as a friend? You ever have those sort of people? It's like hugging a cactus. Oh, ouch. Not too close. I'm from out west. We have cactus out west. I'm very careful around cactuses. The plants and the people. Very careful. And I have to look at my own. I can't do anything about you. I can't make my wife like football. She's just broken. That's not what Jesus said. Where's my heart? Is my heart soft? Am I the sort of person that somebody would want to be around, would want as a friend? Or am I only interested in airing my opinion and my political bent and my persuasion and the Bible only means this and you're wrong, you're stupid? We wouldn't use those words, but that's maybe how we come across. Is my heart soft? One of my favorite verses in the Bible, I know I have a few, Numbers 12:3. I love this verse. We might have it for display. I love this. It's about our guy Moses from the Old Testament. Numbers 12:3, it's coming. Tease. There it is. Now Moses was a very humble man. Very humble. That's good. More humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. That's pretty humble, right? Would you say that's a pretty bold statement? He wrote it about himself. Shouldn't that be the disqualifier? If I'm the most humble person in the room. No, you're not. No, 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 no. Got your hands on the murder weapon. No, not you. But he was saying the truth. He was the most humble man on earth. It's not a lie if it's true. Deep water. Why would God consider Moses a friend? Why would God be attracted to this man, Moses, above everyone else? Why? I believe it starts right there. Because Moses was a humble man, not arrogant, not full of himself, not voicing opinions. I can do it better than anybody else. I'm the best. When are they going to recognize my gift? No, Moses is like, can you send anybody else? I don't want to. And that's not the recipe to get ahead, by the way. But it's a soft heart. That's what. That's the one of the basis of being a friend. As I'm actually enjoyable to be around because it's not all about me. It actually is all about you. That's the beauty of friendship. Is treating someone as better than myself, Philippians 2. Essence of what Jesus did. Am I humble? Abraham, he simply listened and obeyed. We don't have time to go into it, but in Genesis 22:2, the Lord had said, go sacrifice your son, your one and only son, Isaac. And you know what Abraham did? Why was God attracted to Abraham as a friend? Genesis 22:2 says this. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you. And you know what Abraham did? He got up early the next morning and went to obey God. Doesn't make sense. You're kidding. You got to be kidding me. What kind of God is this? Obviously, the Lord didn't want him to sacrifice. He simply wanted to know, will you obey me? Soft heart. When the Lord tells me something, will I say yes or argue? Will I actually follow through with biblical principles? Father, thank you so much for your kindness, for your generosity towards me, towards us. Father, help me. Help me to have a soft heart, to be more of a listener than a talker, to put other people first before myself, to have my eyes open for the Samaritan women that are all around me, the Samaritan men all around me, broken people looking for somebody to actually see them, to listen to them. Jesus, you interacted with messy people all the time because you loved. Father, let me learn how to relate to you as a friend and then show friendship to broken people, to that lady at Walmart, to that lady at the Olive Garden, that next door neighbor who has a stupid yapping dog. May I actually go past the yapping dog and love my neighbor and speak kindly to her. Help me, Father, to be just like Jesus. Though he, being perfect, stepped into people's messes and brought life and brought love and brought hope, rather than just his condemnation and opinion of how wrong they were. He simply loved them and brought them close. Jesus, help me to be that sort of person. I want to be that kind of friend with you first, and then with all those people around me, my neighbors, my workmates, my people at school. Help me to love them. But first, Father, I have to see them and approach them, listening and humble and kind. Help us, Jesus, be people of presence. Help us, help us, help us. And everyone said, amen. Thank you. Let's take time with him. If you're a parent, 6th grade to 12th grade coming up, 129 building, the youth building over there. Have an amazing week. Ladies, enjoy Flourish. It's going to be great. If you have a need, if you have a prayer need, if you prayed with me earlier, we have a prayer team. We would like to pray with you, to help you, to encourage you. So if you have something you just think, I just need help, we have a prayer team that would like to offer help. Amen? Amen. Amen. Have an amazing week.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.